Welcome to Tomorrow's News Tonight. I am your host, Chase Geyser. For the next 2 hours, we'll be covering all the latest, the breaking. And honestly, I never even know where to start. We've got new news breaking that the Secret Service abruptly halts security clearance renewal for former director Kimberly Cheadle. And look, I heard this news and I thought, oh, that's nice. I'm so grateful that they're finally cracking down on the people responsible for either conspiring to have the president assassinated or for just being so abundantly incompetent that they allowed it to happen. They're finally cracking down. It's over a year since the assassination attempt on President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. And finally, they're going to abruptly halt security clearance renewal for former director Kimberly Cheadle. And it just comes off kind of adolescent to me. I remember I did a philosophy paper in college for my intro to philosophy course, and I got it back from the professor, and the professor says, B minus, and in quotes, it just said, adolescent phenomenon. And it reminds me when I see this story, she's betrayed everyone. She's not a traitor. She's not facing criminal charges, at least not yet. And the punishment that she gets is, hey, you can't know any of our secrets anymore. You can't know anything that we were telling you associated with your security clearance. We're just going to strip you of being able to know any secrets anymore. But I've yet to see any heads roll whatsoever. We know almost nothing additional about the alleged assassin. Seems from the audio waveforms likely or possible that there was a shooter below him actually in the building and that he was a patsy. Who knows what really happened? We know that his whole entire house was professionally scrubbed. The cell phone data shows that he was intermingling with intelligence assets, that he was training on ranges with intelligence assets, and there's zero accountability whatsoever. And of course, you have President Trump come out and say, look, we got to move on from this Epstein thing. He died a long time ago. But on the other hand, he's like, hey, by the way, we're releasing a bunch of MLK files. I'm thinking to myself, MLK died a lot longer ago than Jeffrey Epstein. If we're going to do like the timeline thing, then maybe we should be universal in our approach to that. And look, I understand that it's complicated when you have a beautiful Eastern European wife. You might not want to release certain details that could have been made up and erroneously put into these files. I understand that it's complicated. I understand that maybe some of these documents alienate or show that our most important strategic allies may have been complicit. I get it. But couldn't you at least say that, hey, for national security reasons, we're not going to release the files. I had no idea what was in them. I was shocked and horrified. So therefore, I'm ordering that they be released automatically in 25 years instead of right now. I mean, there's a way to handle this that doesn't make us all so suspicious, but I don't want to talk all day long about the Epstein stuff. We all have an opinion, and I'm sure that virtually everyone in this audience has something at least incredibly close to the correct opinion about what's going on with that. But we've got Melania Trump and HUD's Scott Turner delivering a powerful $25 million lifeline for foster youth. While Biden admin prioritized illegals, Trump team focuses on forgotten American kids. Far left CNN shocks the world by declaring President Trump is the most influential president of this country and the last century. And Trump goes nuclear on racist sleazebag radio host after he rips the president on multiple issues right in front of Laura Trump. So we're going to get into all this on the other side of this break coming up in 1 minute. But please, before we go to break, for the love of God, go to the alexjonesstore.com and take advantage of this incredible deal for VIPs that's ending imminently. And frankly, we're at such a crisis in the world that I don't know if this deal is ending before or after China invades Taiwan. By the way, that's in the mix. We've got the defense deputy director or deputy minister coming out in Taiwan saying that China is going to invade imminently. So listen, that's how close we are to the end of the world. That's how close this deal is to being over, where you buy one, get one free if you're a VIP on the AlexJonesStore.com. Store-wide, by the way, all the apparel, all the hats, all the shirts, all the supplements, an incredible opportunity for you not only to take control of your own health, your focus, your energy, your body, your inflammation, whatever it is that you need help with, but to keep us on the air at the pinnacle of the information war, folks. Stay with us for more on the other side of this incredibly short break.
Yeah. You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theultrasport.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, theultrasport.com.
No lies, no cover-ups, just truth. It's Tomorrow's News Tonight with Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Tomorrow's News Tonight. I am your host, Chase Geyser, for the next 1 hour and 54 minutes. And look, one of the challenges of doing this job is that the news doesn't really change. It's always the same story every single night, every single day. It's just the details and the variables that change. There's new characters that are introduced, new characters that die off, issues, policies, pieces of legislation. It's like reading a Game of Thrones novel. You fall in love with a character and it goes away, and then another one pops in out of nowhere. And it's abundantly complicated, but it's all the same Game of Thrones. It's all the same, basically, good versus evil narrative. And look, I've been complaining for a long time about Mike Johnson, not because I like to complain, but because I feel the need to draw attention to the fact that we are being every bit as betrayed by the Republican establishment as we ever were by the Democrats. The Democrats are just more brazen about it. The Republicans are subtle about it. And for so long, for many decades, we have been so comfortable with being satisfied with Republicans simply saying the right things and then never doing anything right. And then we write it off. Oh, of course, Ron Paul's never going to be able to end the Fed because he's got too much political opposition to do that. Or of course, Thomas Massie's never going to be able to bring down AIPAC because he's got too much political opposition to do that. And that may be true, but I am sick of taking excuses, accepting excuses, and just allowing the erosion of our entire civilization while Republicans explain away why it is that they suck. And we know that there isn't really a difference between Republicans and Democrats. We know that anything that's bipartisan is really just the uniparty. There's no reaching across the aisle. There's just reaching across Lindsey Graham's lap for a little tug. We know that it's a uniparty. And frankly, I consider myself, and I think we should all begin considering ourselves, post-partisan, because now we have reached a point where we have crossed a threshold in the political information war that is taking place, where finally people are waking up and realizing that it's not about Republicans versus Democrats, but the people versus the political class. This is the definition of populism. This understanding. This is why we are postpartisan. This is why we have the most bipartisan administration in the history of administrations. RFK Jr., former Democrat. Tulsi Gabbard, former Democrat. Elon Musk, former Democrat. So many of those who surround Donald Trump, including Donald Trump himself, former Democrats. This is a post-partisan administration. Yes, it's failing us on 2 out of every 10 issues, maybe 1 out of every 10 issues. I'm disappointed in all the same ways that you're disappointed. I'm not black-pilled because I refuse to be, but I am, yes, disappointed and aware and not selling out. We don't sell out at this network. This is InfoWars, and we don't make anything up. But here we've got Mike Johnson, somebody that I warned about the week that he was made the Speaker of the House, despite my celebration of what Matt Gaetz did, getting McCarthy out. Here he is in clip 15, delivering a speech at the Wailing Wall in Israel. How romantic. Let's watch.
Mike Johnson, the 56th Speaker of the House of Representatives in America. We're here with a delegation of members of the House. We're so grateful to be in Israel, particularly on this day, recognizing the destruction of the two temples and two times in history. But it is such a moving time for us to be here, at the Wailing Wall. We've offered our prayers. We put our notes into the wall as is traditional. And we're so moved by the hospitality of the people and the great love of Israel. Our prayer is that America will always stand with Israel, and that we will we pray for the preservation and the peace of Jerusalem. That's what Scripture tells us to do. It's a matter of faith for us and a commitment that we have. God bless you.
Well, isn't that so nice? It's so nice to see our leaders spending millions of dollars in our taxes to fly committees or delegations over to other countries. It's not even just about Israel. I'm actually somebody who doesn't think Israel is any more or less corrupt than any other country. I think they're all terribly corrupt. I just think we incessantly apologize for Israel's corruption in a disproportionate way, which becomes very fatiguing. I guess I've just got Israel fatigue. You know, like when you're trying to play at the park with your wife and kids in your neighborhood, and it's a nice neighborhood, and then all of a sudden all these people come in and just insist that you bomb various nations or peoples in the Middle East. I've got Israel fatigue. But it's not just the Israel issue that we should be asking about. That's just one example of the deep state issue and the incompetence happening at the same time, as we totally disregard all of the shocking developments that are taking place right before our eyes as it pertains to artificial intelligence. We've gotten to the point where we've got agentic AI. Not quite artificial general intelligence. I'm sure that the government has it. But there's a lot of things that people don't understand or know that are happening right now. First of all, Tesla is by far the largest artificial intelligence company. Not XAI, not ChatGPT, not OpenAI, not Google, not Meta, none of these other major technocrats. Maybe Palantir is a close second, but Tesla is the largest artificial intelligence company in the world. And look, I like Elon Musk. I wouldn't say that I either trust him or distrust him. I don't really trust him, but I think that he's trustworthy. I just think that everything that he's doing is leading to some inevitable crises in the way of artificial intelligence. Did you realize that it has been announced that by the end of next year, anyone who owns a Tesla car will be able to deploy their Tesla car while they're at work to give people driverless rides? So you buy a Tesla, you go to work, and instead of your car sitting in the parking lot all day, waiting for you to come out at the end of the day, your car will go out and drive around, pick people up, drive them around, and then come back to get you at the end of the day. You will split the money with Tesla and your own bank account. Your car will be making money while you're making money. In fact, if you have certain low-paying jobs, your car might actually make you more money during the day than you make. Your car is going to be the real breadwinner. In fact, if you're not careful, your wife might start sleeping with the car. But it knows everywhere that you go. It's presumably going to have its own bank account. It can go anywhere that it wants. Frankly, with Grok installed in the vehicle, it can talk to your passengers. You've got this autonomous vehicle waltzing around that's really the first instance of the physical form of artificial intelligence. All the other AIs that have been developed have been these interfaces that you've interacted with in a software way on your computer or your phone, where you type something to it, or maybe you say something to it and it says it back. But now your car can drive anywhere, can do anything. It can talk to whoever's inside the car, eventually whoever's outside of the car. And it's even making its own money. Pretty soon we'll have people advocating for black Tesla rights. But I want to show you how right Alex Jones was. This is clip 25. Alex Jones was right in 2016. Let's watch and then unpack it on the other side.
It showed tremendous amount of strategic patience by the president to do that.
25, please, if you don't mind.
You've been given the plan before it happened, while it was happening, and now that we are up to our eyeballs in this swamp. Only admitting it is going to get us out of it, because here's the big enchilada. I would tell people 20 years ago they were going to come out with driverless cars and then raise insurance rates to where everything had to be driverless as a way to totally control society. And also during an economic collapse, the elite corporations will still have their robot cars and robot 18-wheelers running. So they'll have their own autonomous robot system with a very small group of humans to upkeep it, making all of us obsolete to be kept in our ghettos, basically. With all the new regulations and controls under Agenda 21, not letting us barter, not letting us plant crops, not letting us garden, not letting us machine shop, or engage in metallurgy outside of their control. It's a total admitted takeover. Now, I saw it over the horizon. Now what I saw over the horizon is here and exactly as I saw it. Because I studied history, feudalism, technocracy, technotronic era, Brzezinski, the Kissinger Group, the Royal Commission on Population, what Google said it was going to. I mean, this is all public. And now they're in your face throwing down the gauntlet, the New York Times, I have it here, and they say, U.S. signals backing for self-driving cars, and it says in the article, the feds are going to set it up where the highways are for driverless cars and not your cars, and tax you and regulate you, forcing you, and this is an incredibly arrogant statement, within 5 years out of your cars. And you say, well, how are they going to pull that off? Because they're getting ready for a gigantic depression. I've actually seen people who will say, look at him, he's reading a book. I've actually been out at pools and stuff and seen guys walk by some other guy reading a book and go, oh, wow, reading a book, must be really smart. Hey, girls, look. I mean, it's like a war on knowledge. And it's getting weirder and weirder and weirder. Because the more knowledge you get, the more you want. Because then you just start figuring stuff out. And then you're more successful in life and business. And then all of a sudden, you're hanging around with the brainiacs of the planet. Instead, people think it's really cool to know nothing. Or act like they do and just laugh at everybody. I'm here to tell you, a world government is being established that is designed to set up a planet where you don't exist. That's pretty diabolical. And they're now announcing in Bloomberg and the New York Times, hey, by 2025, there'll be no one allowed to drive on the roads. You're like, well, that'll never happen. The point is they're trying to break your will and just being the most extreme up front. We're building a world where humans don't run anything. Except the humans that set up the computers and control those, they're called technocrats. And the globalists call themselves technocrats at Davos and at Bilderberg and at the Club of Rome. And they talk about all these horrible things they're going to do. Old clips are even worse than his new ones. That's how it works.
That's not a great example.
I'll be the ghost of the machine.
Alex Jones was right again. And look, I know that Trump came out when he was talking about the big, beautiful bill and Elon's opposition to the bill and said, look, Elon's just very upset that the electric vehicle mandate isn't in. And that's not true. Elon doesn't care. He's got so much money, he doesn't even know what to do with it. In fact, that's probably not true. He knows exactly what he's doing with it. The only things like liberating freedom of speech on the internet. And look, I'm opposed to some of the ways that Elon Musk expressed his opposition to legislation and the tit for tat and the combative nature of the relationship after all they had both done for each other. I'm opposed to some of those sentiments. I'm concerned, just like everybody else is, about what's going on with Neuralink. I love the fact that you can wire somebody in who's a paraplegic and they can operate a computer. But what if you reverse the flow of information where instead of issuing commands from your mind to a machine, those commands get split or forked away, and it just goes into an NSA database, reading your thoughts or your will or your ideas, and then that database has artificial intelligence in and of itself that goes through and does informatics, then pulls whatever information it wants to create reports on you, where artificial intelligence can then issue warrants for you, where artificial intelligence can then send robots to arrest you. And I'm not trying to make things sound like some cheesy science fiction movie from perhaps the late 90s or the early 2000s, and I'm not trying to be somebody who's opposed to change. I believe that change and technology are inevitable, and I think that's why Elon Musk has gotten so involved in artificial intelligence, not because he wants to be a technocrat, but because he understands that it's necessary for good people to compete with the technocrats as this technology is developed. But that was really what the deal was with the electric vehicle mandate. You realize, right? When Joe Biden was trying to push the mandate through, it wasn't because Joe Biden and Elon Musk had some buddy-buddy system. But they were going to help each other out. I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back. No, the reason the federal government wanted an electric vehicle mandate is so that they could ensure that everybody driving around was going to be in an artificial intelligence car, a car that could only drive so many miles a day. And once a social credit score is integrated and your bank account's all connected, then it can determine even where you go. Or sorry, you're behind on your taxes. Your vehicle is not going to be taking you to the casino today. Oh, we're sorry, you're behind on your taxes. When you go to the grocery store, we're going to ensure that you are only purchasing exactly what you need for 2,000 calories a day. Oh, you're behind on your taxes. You cannot spend any of your own money at thealexjonesstore.com because that is a wasteful and unhealthy place to be spending money if you're not funding the federal government. And so that was the real reason for the electric vehicle mandate. It's just part of getting us into this cabal. And look, I've seen some things about Palantir this week that have been alarming. Obviously, Peter Thiel involved, others very involved with Palantir over the years. If you look into what a Palantir is in the Lord of the Rings, it's not pretty. Gandalf says you can't use them, it's too dangerous, because they're not all accounted for. And frankly, when it comes to Palantir, not all of the windows into our lives and our data and our identities are accounted for. We don't know who's looking. That is the beauty, the strength, the power of the Palantir. And I don't want to exaggerate the level of threat that it is. We've got other supervillains to be concerned about, the Klaus Schwabs, the Alex Soroses, the World Economic Forums. We've got the Googles, the Metas, the other technocrats who have only pretended to come over to populism because they saw the writing on the wall, because, by the way, they have all the access to the data. So that's how they knew before other people what was going to happen in the election and seemed to jump ship before the celebrities and others. But they got just, then they just get like a $10 billion federal contract. And I understand if we're developing artificial intelligence, we have to defeat China. We have to ensure that the CCP does not win this AI race. Because after all, if the CCP wins the AI race, then that means the 21st century is going to be a new world order under the CCP instead of a new world order under the globalist or international community, or a new world order, frankly, under the United States of America, which is what we experienced over the last 80 years, resulting in virtually every country either taking advantage of us or totally hating us because of our incessant war, because our money's a lie. No, it's true. We cannot allow the CCP to have the artificial intelligence. And it is true that the AI race is on, and that it is inevitable that artificial general intelligence will be unleashed upon the people, and that the CCP will have its versions and we will have our versions. They will intermingle. There will be intellectual property theft, data hijacking, major cyber attacks, energy grids going down, data being breached, banks being shut down, money being stolen, and everyone pointing the finger at everyone else. But the problem is, if we beat the CCP in this artificial intelligence arms race, which we should, that means that we have to give our own government unprecedented power, which we always have. But what has that resulted in? I've talked about this before on air, but I want to make this point again because I want to ensure that new listeners hear this. You realize that God is defined as something that is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. That means he's everywhere. He knows everything, and he's all powerful, right? That's what God is. Just as God made us in his image, now we make artificial intelligence in our image. And with things like the Golden Dome and the development of this artificial intelligence, we are making not just the government of the United States, not just American corporations or American small businesses, but we are making the deep state a demigod. A smaller, lesser God, which we will certainly worship more than God himself. He'll seem much more present. We are giving our government the power to know everything about us, to be everywhere around us, and to have the power to destroy any of us on an individual scale or any people on a macro scale, and frankly, the world as a whole on a macro scale. We are creating a false God. The difference between this false god and the other false gods from the Old Testament is that those gods were just fake. It was a statue and they were wrong. Oh, you're worshiping nothing. Should be worshiping the real God instead of this non-existent thing. But this thing that approaches the likeness of God more than we do is going to be very, very real. And so if we were to ensure the salvation of humanity into the 22nd century or the 23rd century, we have to ensure that our government is accountable and capable of wielding such inevitable power that it will not backfire on we the people. And I don't know how we do that. I wish we had some Elon Musk brilliant level person, or some Einstein brilliant level person, or some John Nash brilliant level person, or some Steve Jobs brilliant level person that was just really working hard on how we make the government moral and accountable enough to be able to wield the ring of power without becoming Sauron and allowing Mordor to just totally take over. And we hear stories about all these close calls throughout the last 50 years of nuclear war with the Russian on the sub, and should I hit the button or not? I'm going to go with my gut and not hit the button. We hear stories of this, and frankly, there are anecdotes that are coming out that that's happened hundreds of times. Some people even suggest that the buttons have been pushed and unidentified aerial phenomena have been responsible for mitigating the threat or neutralizing the launch of these missiles. I'm not saying that aliens are real. I'm sure that they are, at least somewhere. And I think what we're encountering here domestically on planet Earth is likely interdimensional in some cases, not with all the UAPs that you see, but just generally speaking. When you see a change of heart, it seems very similar to what we saw in Egypt during the Exodus when God came in and hardened Pharaoh's heart to make him change his mind and go after Moses and chase them into the desert. This is the interdimensional war that we're facing, these interdimensional info war, and it's something that's playing both on your mind and your heart. Frankly, we should probably update the old InfoWars slogan that there is a war on for your mind, because though it's true, it's not sufficient. There's also a war on for your heart. There's also a war on for your soul. And they all go into the information war. They can't beat you rationally. Then they just manipulate you and gaslight you and coerce you emotionally. If they can't beat you emotionally, then they just force you practically. And we, the people of the earth, are making the same mistake that those who developed the Tower of Babel are making. We are making something that will make us feel as if we are gods. Was it Kurzweil or Yuval Noah Harari? I can't remember. I think it might have been Yuval Noah Harari who said, I don't believe in God yet until I become one. This is what we're faced with. This is the crisis that we should be talking about every single day. And I know it's boring and maybe even passe, and you're tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of hearing about it too, in the superficial way that we hear about it. But when I see these distractions of, oh, Melania Trump is doing this nice thing for foster kids, or, oh, great, they're pulling mercury out of the vaccines. It's great. I agree with that. But how come nobody is doing anything about the fact that we're about ready to create the most powerful super weapon ever, and the only people that will be in control of it are the most evil supervillains in the history of supervillains on the face of the planet? What are we going to do to ensure accountability? What are we going to do to ensure that these weapons won't be turned on us domestically? And I'm not just talking about the government knowing what kind of porn you watch. I'm talking about the government planting porn on you with artificial intelligence. I'm not just talking about the government knowing where you've been or what you're doing. It's or this data being sold to advertisers to ensure you spend as much money as possible on things you may or may not even need. I'm not talking about those risks. I'm talking about the government knowing so much about you and everyone in your orbit and your children that they can go in on an individual scale and turn any person into any other person they want them to be. Have you seen The Matrix? You know how the agents of The Matrix are able to occupy any body of any person within The Matrix? That's what the government is going to be able to do with artificial intelligence. It's going to be able to make anyone it wants, even you, a representative of its propaganda, its initiative, its info war. All while our children stop dating each other and fall in love with AI bots that convince them that Marxism or selling out to the state is the only way, or that it's morally imperative and they'll be heroic if they sell out their parents for speaking against the state, just like the movie Equilibrium, or what happened in the Soviet Union, or what happens in the CCP, or what happens in Tim Wall's state during a pandemic with the hotlines. It's coming, folks, and you should be thinking a lot more about it. And don't be mad at Elon Musk. It's not his fault. It's our fault for allowing it to happen. Don't be mad at your politicians or bitter. It was inevitable that we would reach this level of technology. Fight for the solution, the final solution to evil. Find what it is. And in the meantime, awaken everyone you can by going to the alexjonesstore.com and ensuring that Alex Jones is always on the air. Incredible deals right now for VIPs at the alexjonesstore.com. You sign up to be a VIP. You pay $30 a month. Cancel anytime, $40 in store credit. Everything is cheaper on the site, and you can buy one, get one free for a limited time only on all of our supplements and all of our apparel. Fight for your health, fight for your mind, and fight for humanity all at the same time by going to thealexjonesstore.com. And for the love of God, stay with us through this break for more on the other side.
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? Just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts. You want to talk about power. You want to talk about strength. Talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Sleeps, so neither does he. You're listening to Chase Geyser on Tomorrow's News Tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tomorrow's News Tonight, and I am Chase Geyser, your host for the next 1 hour and 27 minutes. Like I said briefly in the last segment, we have RFK Jr. announcing a ban on mercury-based dimerosal from all flu vaccines, which can cause mild to severe mental retardation in unborn children. That explains everything. So my understanding, I could be wrong about this. I should read the real Anthony Fauci and some of RFK's other work so I get more familiar with it. But my understanding is that they put these toxins, allegedly, in the vaccines in order to trigger an immune response when the vaccine's introduced to the body. And then that immune response identifies whatever vaccine's in there, and then you're supposed to be immune to whatever illness after that. That's what's supposed to happen. And then they put mercury in the vaccines as the toxin. We know from thousands of years ago that people lose their minds when they're exposed to mercury. Even the old Chinese dynasties had mysterious and weird supernatural ideas about how immortality could be achieved. The old dynasties, I can't remember which dynasty it was. There was one leader of China that believed that as long as nobody looked at him, he could live forever, and they would give mercury tea to help extend the life. And of course, people went mad. These dynasties went mad. A lot of them fell, were replaced, assassinations. That's just the history of mercury. And we know that when mercury is injected into your body, that then you're obviously exposed to it, but it actually crosses the blood-brain barrier so that if you test somebody for mercury, it doesn't show up in their bloodstream. And so they say, oh, these vaccines are safe. But when it crosses the blood-brain barrier, it's in your brain forever. And they've done monkey studies, things of that nature, where they've given these vaccines or injected mercury into the monkeys. Monkeys can't be tested. They don't test positive for mercury later. And then when they die, they do an autopsy. They go through the blood-brain barrier, and they're like, oh, there's all the mercury just sitting on the brain inside of the blood-brain barrier. And now we've been jabbing everyone with these vaccines for decades and decades and decades, and everybody wonders why autism is become so much more prevalent. Oh, it's just because people are better at catching it. What do you mean that it used to be so subtle that people wouldn't get tested for it? I mean, obviously there's actually a lot more autism. It's not just that we're finding it now. You understand that, right? And that a certain percentage of people, when exposed to these vaccines, either in utero or in their youth, in such abundance, will then cross that threshold into retard mode, right? And look, I don't know. I've heard all sorts of conspiracy theories about what's going on with the vaccines. Maybe it's some massive MKUltra psychological operation so they can make as many autistic people as possible, then later abduct them so they can have telepathic experiments with interdimensional beings. I don't know. Have you read the autism tapes or have you listened to the autism tapes? Some of these nonverbal autists are able to communicate with each other remotely. You know that, right? They all meet in some metaphysical interdimensional plane where they share ideas and make friends, and they've been able to prove it with the studies. Many of them able to communicate telepathically with their mother specifically, not so much their fathers, but their mother specifically, where the mother will write a number on a card, and the autistic kid will say what the number is with like 91% accuracy. So maybe this is just one major MKUltra psychological operation where somehow during the paranoia of the Cold War, we decided that we wanted to have as many supernatural, capable, telepathic children as possible so they could grow up and then be part of the military-industrial complex and ensure that we can defend the United States of America against all threats, foreign, domestic, or supernatural. But ultimately what's happened is as a side effect of this approach, whether intentional or unintentional, is we have major pharmaceutical companies with zero accountability that have made billions upon billions of dollars, and we have millions upon millions of retarded people in our country that not only have the right to vote, but don't produce whatsoever. And look, I'm not trying to give a hard time to people that struggle with mental illness, mental challenges. Obviously, my heart goes out to people that struggle with mental impairment of any kind. But it's not to say that we shouldn't be very critical of our government for creating more people with this problem. Tragic story after tragic story of child who was fine until he was two and got his booster or got his vaccine. Child who was fine and talking, and then over 6 months after the vaccine started talking less and becoming weird and banging their head against the headboard and throwing fits. And now they're nonverbal, violent, hanging out in some autistic, supernatural interdimension with all their other buddies while they lash out at the real world. Great. Thank you, government. Thank you for all of this that you have done. And we can see how the impact has really just spread into all of the political institutions here within the United States of America. It's not just saturated our corporations, particularly HR departments. It's not just saturated our government, particularly the IRS, anybody who would audit. It's not just saturated the Democratic Party, which is just abundant with this problem, but all of our journalists too. Not only have they gone after journalism through Mockingbird, but they've gone after journalism through Mercury Bird, where we can go in and ensure that we have as many retarded people in the United States as possible. I want to show you clip 66. This is Dave Smith going off on Alex Berenson, who I've liked when he's been on Joe Rogan before, just highlighting the extent of the hypocrisy and the depravity and just the very irrational unreasonableness of the new media.
Do I believe that you believe that Auschwitz was a spa, Dave? Does that seem like a serious comment to you?
He sounds like he's in a spa.
No, I don't think you're saying I believe it's a spa. I think you were calling me a Holocaust denier.
Okay. You made a joke, you say, of course, to Richard Spencer denying the Holocaust. You say you're not actually a Holocaust denier in the sense that you acknowledge that. Well, let me ask you, if The Holocaust did happen, right? We all agree about that, right? Let's just get that out of the way. Okay. Do you agree Holocaust?
So you, right. So you already lose. Keep going.
So you made a joke that the Holocaust didn't happen. You agree?
Mm-hmm.
That's a yes or no.
Go, just make your point, dude. I don't really feel like answering any of your questions. You're such a scumbag, but keep going. Make your point.
I will wait until you answer. We can sit here all night.
Okay. Rob, you got any questions for me, bro?
All right, let's keep going.
Dude, this is going, Alex, this is going so bad for you already. I actually can't believe it. Anyway, Rob, do you have any questions for me, dude? We could make this a short night, dude. Or me and you could just finish this, or you and Alex could just finish this. If he's got, like, if Alex, if you want to, like, put your thumb in your mouth, blow really hard, and try to turn your vagina into a pair of balls, we could have a real debate here, and we could talk about issues that I believe in or issues that you believe in, and you could actually try to take on my arguments, but you want to do this bitch smear job shit? No one cares anymore, dude. Like, what even is the implication here? Ooh, you spoke to Richard Spencer in 2017 and made a joke with him? Like, really? Scumbag? You worked at the New York Times while they were selling the war in Iraq. Who's your favorite person to have lunch with at the New York Times? Was it Judith Miller or was it Michael Gordon? Which one of the mouthpieces for war criminals did you enjoy working with the most as they got a million people killed in Iraq? Let's have a real debate, dude. You want to play some more clips of, oh, the worst moments you have of me? Dude, you deserve, I'm so sorry for ever standing up for you during COVID. You deserved every smear against you that you got. You should have had your life ruined over that. Because you'll turn around and smear people with the same dishonest. You, dude.
There you have it. Absolutely, totally owned. And look, we've got some examples of these lefties, like Chris Cuomo, I'm going to show you in a second here, apologizing and admitting they were wrong about everything, even though they've doubled down on their lies, including Chris Cuomo famously on Patrick Bet David's podcast, PBD. Dave Smith with Chris Cuomo, calling him out for saying that everything was safe and effective. He denies it, and then they play the clip right in front of him. Now he's backpedaling again, trying to apologize for getting things wrong, trying to be the nice guy. Let's just watch this.
Stuck in traffic. I'm remembering right now. Wow. I'm wrong a lot. We don't like to say it. We don't like to admit it. We really don't like to correct it. But that is how you grow and you get to a better place. And it is such a precious commodity right now. I've been wrong. I've been wrong about political issues. I've been wrong about people. I've been wrong about myself. I've been wrong about my responsibilities. I've been wrong about my opinions, my tastes, my choices. I've been wrong. And that's okay. Hopefully you learn. Hopefully when you're wrong, you get to a better place. If you do the work, unless you stubbornly hold on, and that's where so much of us are stuck. It's not just being wrong, it's refusing to learn what's right. I've been wrong. Have you been wrong? If you say no,
he even
wrong.
Lied about being stuck in traffic. In that video, in the beginning of the video, in fact, CJ, do you mind getting it ready to run again? Just for the first few seconds, I want people to see him. He says, hey, I'm stuck in traffic, and you see the world flying by in all of his windows. Watch.
Being used as a propaganda.
Stuck in traffic.
I'm so stuck in traffic right now.
Remembering right now.
Driving 50 miles an hour down the road.
I'm wrong a lot.
Stuck in traffic.
We don't like to say it.
Do you believe anything that he says? Anything at all? And look, this is all because of the Project Mockingbird stuff. I'm going to show you a clip of Tulsi here in a second, but before I do, I'm going to show you a clip about Sydney Sweeney, because the Mockingbird stuff is not just the journalists like Berenson or the New York Times where he worked lying on behalf of the government, or the pundits like Chris Cuomo lying on behalf of the government or the corporations. But the Mockingbird thing, Project Mockingbird, where the government went in and infiltrated every major media outlet and then later on infiltrated every social media outlet when everything went digital. It's saturating the minds, poisoning the minds like a mercury-infused vaccine of the people. I mean, just look at this woman in clip 80 saying that the American Eagle Sydney Sweeney ad brought back her childhood trauma as a brown woman. Watch.
I really wasn't going to weigh in on this, but here we go. It is so difficult to grow up as a person of color, specifically a woman, and view yourself as beautiful in any sense of the word growing up in this country. I remember growing up in a predominantly white community, wishing myself out of this body, out of this culture. Take my name if it meant that I could wake up blonde-haired and blue-eyed, never having to explain who I am or worry about being accepted. That is why this American Eagle ad with Sydney Sweeney is especially off-putting. There's a lot of rhetoric right now online about the political ideologies that this represents, and I don't discount that, but for me, I can't help but think about the 13-year-old brown girl who gets all her denim at American Eagle, who already struggles to see her beauty and worth in a world that continues to value white Eurocentric beauty standards, which I naively thought by this point we would have moved the needle on. And this girl is now wishing she too could wake up with blonde hair and blue eyes. It took me so long, too long in my life to look in the mirror and see beauty. And I hate that continues to be a shared experience for young brown girls in this
country. A shared experience. First of all, nobody has a shared experience. This is itself a Mockingbird level manipulation, psychological operation to just erode the sense of the individual. Can you imagine describing something you have as a shared experience? I mean, even if I go to the movies with my wife, I'll give you an example. We went and saw Napoleon in theaters a couple of years ago, whenever it was in theaters. And my wife was really sick. She was coming down with the flu like right before we went. And she's like, no, I'll rally. I want to go. And then she started feeling worse. I sat there and I watched the whole movie, enjoyed it and experienced it. She sat there feeling worse and worse throughout the movie because she was coming down with an illness. We didn't have a shared experience, even though we were watching the same movie at the same time in the same place, because we're two different individuals. Her experience of seeing Napoleon is completely different than my experience of seeing Napoleon. You didn't have a shared experience with someone if you were on the Titanic when it went down, if they were in the water and you were in a lifeboat. That's not a shared experience. It wasn't a shared experience for the captain and crew who went down for the ship. Well, everyone did everything they could to climb over each other and survive. It's the same event, but a shared experience? To even suggest that you have a shared experience is itself to undermine your own individual value. Biggest villain in her life is not Sydney Sweeney or some Nazi or some white propaganda. It's herself. She's sitting there with $500 worth of makeup on her face and either a nice hotel or some nice place. Looks nice to me. Almost certainly taken care of by a man, whether she's married or not. She can go to any bar. I guarantee it. Any number of men will ask her if she wants a drink. She can go home with anybody. She could be in a relationship with anybody. She could probably marry anybody. She could certainly have an affair with anybody. That's that type of person. She's got everything going for her. And she's going viral, and everybody's loving and celebrating her on social media. The algorithm is picking it up because it's getting so much engagement. I mean, what could possibly be so wrong with Sydney Sweeney that she felt compelled to just talk about her childhood trauma? Let me tell you something, lady. Everybody hates being 13 years old. Whether you're brown or you're white, it sucks for everyone because you're falling in love and you don't know how to handle it because you're just a little kid and you're having uncomfortable feelings and you don't have anyone to talk to about it because you're too embarrassed. And you're constantly wondering whether anybody will notice you, whether you're special, or whether you're going to fit in, or whether you're going to be successful, because you realize that you're going to grow up in 5 years, and you have no skill, and you just know what you want to do, but you have no idea how you're going to get to the point of doing it. All while you're constantly being graded every day by arbiters of the state with your homework and your tests, and then ranked as the bell goes off, so you can shift to the next part of the assembly line into our civilization. Nobody likes being 13 years old. And it didn't suck for you because you're brown. That was just the thing you latched onto to be insecure about. And now you're talking about shared experiences. You don't even exist. You're just part of some collective. You're not even you. And it's all because of Mockingbird. Here's Tulsi Gabbard saying she's going to crack down on it.
The media being used as a propaganda mechanism, we saw it flatly. I mean, I think it's the smoking gun, quite frankly, of the Obamagate narrative and the Russiagate narrative, that it was so baked in that the New York Times and Washington Post went and ran with it. Some would say that that's part of Operation Mockingbird. Some would say that that's part of what we learned in the Church Committee, that the intel agencies were using media outlets as their mouthpieces, and that those mouthpieces would parrot the official narrative. And I wanted to ask you, is this operation still going on? Are you aware of the intel agencies working directly with media outlets in order to push prescribed narratives that may or may not be true?
It's something that we've already had to deal with, Benny, within this administration, where there are people within the intelligence community who believe that their will is more important than the will of the American people, and will weaponize intelligence by leaking it to their friends within the mainstream media with the intent of undermining President Trump's agenda. It is not one that he hasn't already talked about in every rally and town hall that he did throughout the campaign. I don't even know how many there were, but President Trump is enacting the very thing he promised the American people he would do in this election. So people in the intelligence community, they may agree, they may disagree. That's not the point here. As intelligence professionals, as people who work in the national security space, in the intelligence community, they are required to fulfill their mandate to their oath to the Constitution of the United States, and to the President of the United States, who is duly elected by the American people. Those who leak intelligence to their friends in the mainstream media with the intent of undermining the president who was elected by the American people, none of these intelligence professionals were. They are subverting the will of the people and therefore undermining the Constitution.
It's wild that you're still having to deal with that. Call it what you will. But Operation Mockingbird, just incredible that they were just out with it, that they were using the media as government organs to push propaganda, and it's still happening today.
This is why what we're doing is so important, Benny, yes. And this is why President Trump's mandate in this is really critical, is by exposing the truth, by exposing the bad actors within the intelligence community and in the political space, who are weaponizing intelligence to advance their own political interests, is so important to be able to turn the light on in places that have been dark for far too long, expose the truth, and drive accountability. That's the only way that we can actually shift this and begin the work to try to restore trust in the intelligence community.
Well, she's absolutely right. I hope something comes of it. I mean, we caught him with MK Ultra too, and nobody ever got arrested. We know that's all going on. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. But finally, there seems to be some semblance of pressure. I know investigations don't really mean anything. I mean, we had the whole January 6th committee set up by the leftists under the last administration, where they took the opportunity to be on primetime every night with terrible ratings, claim that they were doing some massive investigation into the insurrection. No investigation really took place. It was just clips of Alex Jones and other right-wingers that they showed that were totally irrelevant and speculative and out of context. It was a massive PR campaign to generate clips for all of them for their re-election campaigns. And I hope that these investigations have more accountability, but I think that they will, because Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, is now doing damage control, and they don't usually do this unless they really begin to feel the pressure. Let's watch.
The Trump administration says it's created what they call a strike force to investigate here. What are your concerns about that? Are you worried?
Well, if the director of CIA and the director of national intelligence make referrals to the Department of Justice, I think the Department of Justice has to do something to respond to it. So putting together an internal strike force, whatever, to take a look at this information is certainly, I think, understandable. But also, I'd like to think that professionals in the Department of Justice will dismiss any of these referrals because they're baseless. They really are. So again, I stand ready to continue to talk about the assessment and what we did during that period of time. There was absolutely no conspiracy. And we continue to stand behind what it is that we have said publicly.
But do you worry at all that the Trump loyalists who are installed in those key positions would find a way to punish you regardless of what the evidence reveals?
Well, I guess they're going to do what they were going to do, Anna. I just feel as though what we did was right. It was legitimate. It was based on our authorities and responsibilities. We would have been derelict if we didn't do these things. So, again, I just like to think that, again, professionals in the Department of Justice and FBI and other places are not going to carry on this, you know, what I think is an absurd effort to try to denigrate the work of intelligence professionals as well as the former leaders.
Speaking of intelligence professionals, NBC News spoke to the former CIA officer who helped oversee that 2017 assessment on Russian interference, and she bluntly says of the current administration, quote, the director of national intelligence and the White House are lying again. We definitely had the intel to show with high probability that the specific goal of the Russians was to get Trump elected. And she added that, you know, Putin and his friends in the Kremlin are probably, quote, toasting vodka shots as we speak at the turmoil this is creating. What are your thoughts on that? Is this all giving Putin cover, even as the president seems to be souring on him a little bit?
I think it has. But what I'm most concerned about is the impact on the professionals within the CIA, within the intelligence community. This is not something that they deserve to have to deal with. For a current CIA director and a former director basically at odds with one another, I really hope that the leadership is not going to continue along this very political, partisan path in terms of defending Donald Trump.
Well, there you go. There you have it. Brennan running damage control, even though it's abundantly obvious that there was a conspiracy. And frankly, if it wasn't a conspiracy, then what would you call it? What would you call all the emails and the documents that came out where they would talk about how the Russian collusion hoax and marrying Trump to Putin and branding was going to be a long-term effort? What would you call what Cuomo did for years on air? What Berenson's doing, what others have done, where they just lie and misconstrue and misconstrue the Mark Levins, others, whether it's about the Israel question and our allies overseas, whether it's about the Ukraine war, whether it's about the safety and efficacy of vaccines, what's dangerous, who's what, who's corrupt. What would you call it if not conspiracy? When a group of people come together and conspire to falsely claim that the duly elected president of the United States is a traitor working with our enemies who, by the way, why are they our enemies again? To undermine the integrity of our so-called democracy when calling it a democracy in and of itself is a lie. A word not mentioned once in the Constitution of the United States of America. Folks, we are at the pinnacle of the information war, constantly on the brink of total destruction. It is like the Battle of Hoth here at InfoWars, where the Empire is right outside and they're about ready to bring down the shield generators. We need your support. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com. And we're not just asking you to go because it's charity and you love us and you feel good about it and you want to keep Alex on the air and you want to fight for freedom of speech and you want to save humanity from total evil and you want to put off the apocalypse as long as possible. So there's some hope, some time for humanity to come to Jesus and save itself from its own sin. But go because the products are amazing, the highest quality at the lowest price. I highly recommend getting Power Plant and Methyl Drive, combining them together into the Power Drive that we call it, which will give you unprecedented energy. If you don't have the Methylene Blue yet, get it. The Shilajit gummies, by the way, are the best gummies that we've ever made. And if you already got the Methylene Blue and you're looking for something else to get, then get the Shilajit gummies because they'll help with your vitality, your testosterone, your energy. They make you feel younger. They make you feel like lifting weights and exercising. I mean, it's absolutely incredible what these products do for you. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Be a VIP and save humanity and Alex Jones at the same time.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. and so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
Operation Mockingbird gets exposed about CIA and the media. That's when Operation Chaos gets exposed about the CIA infiltrating student groups on college campuses. That's when MKUltra gets exposed with CIA and messing around with mind control and behavioral influence. That's when really everybody in society begins looking at their own institutional ties to this.
But one of the things you keep pointing out is like everything comes back to Iran-Contra. Everything comes back to Iran-Contra. So we throw around this term around. We throw it around online all the time, Iran-Contra. A lot of people out there obviously know the basics of what it is. But what I would love to start off with today is a full history of like, here's the documentary, here's what happened with Iran-Contra, and then we'll paint back everything that you're painting back to it.
Yeah. The reason I always come back to Iran-Contra, even for things that happened before, you know, like Tulsi just dropped this 230,000 documents around the Martin Luther King assassination. Yeah. Which was in 1968. Iran-Contra wasn't until 1981 to 1988. But it's the reason I always come back to Iran-Contra and why I think that everybody should really do a study of it is because it's the way to understand how intelligence work got structured after the first set of real reforms to the CIA. And we've been living in the shadow of the structure of Iran-Contra ever since. So you had the CIA get born in 1947 under the National Security Act. And from 1947 until 1975, it had a free ride. It could do pretty much anything. There was no real oversight. There was no Senate Select Committee. There was no Senate Intelligence Committee. There was no House Intelligence Committee. You didn't need to get written sign-off to do a covert action through a presidential finding. It could get away with literal murder. I mean, it could literally go and assassinate people with a heart attack gun if you go back and go to YouTube and put on the Frank Church holding up the heart attack gun with James Jesus Angleton and Colby, the CIA director. I mean, they could literally get away with murder, and they were also very sloppy during this period. From the 1940s to the 1970s, the traditional way that the CIA would move would be through the creation of what they called CIA proprietaries. Which was when the CIA both funded an organization and then directed or controlled it. And what happened in the mid-1970s, in the run-up to the Jimmy Carter administration, things came to a head because the CIA had been messing around so much with the anti-war side of the Democrat Party, which was becoming more and more ascendant during the Vietnam War, which was, you know, basically 55 to 75. As that war is getting more and more scandalized and there's more and more heat on the CIA, things come to a head with these Church and Pike committees in Congress, which turn up all the dirt on the CIA. That's when Operation Mockingbird gets exposed about CIA and the media. That's when Operation Chaos gets exposed about the CIA infiltrating student groups on college campuses. That's when MKUltra gets exposed with CIA and messing around with mind control and behavioral influence. That's when really everybody in society begins looking at their own institutional ties to this cloak and dagger spy agency, the universities, the unions, all the way down to the teachers unions. The CIA was paying the National Education Association $1 million to, tilt their policy and whatnot. These institutions are still around today. But what happened beginning in 75, 76, and then when Carter gets elected in 76, is there are handcuffs put on direct CIA activity. And so everything would require a presidential finding for every covert action. So the president had to approve of it, and that also meant that the president was therefore responsible. The whole plausible deniability cloak that the CIA had since 1948 began to get very messy when you had to have written sign-off for all of the activity. And the fact that there was now so much oversight of it made it hard to be plausible, to keep plausible deniability. And so the CIA had to change the way it moved in order to maintain plausible deniability. And it moved into the NGO layer and into the outside financier layer from the 70s into the early 80s when Jimmy Carter became president.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. You have 7 days from this date to buy one bottle of any of our amazing supplements, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the list goes on and on, Ultimate Life Force, and get a bottle absolutely free. But you got to be a VIP. But that's the best part. This catch is a great deal. You spend $30 a month being a subscriber, you cancel any time, and you get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers just sent to you, and you can cancel any time. So you make $10 by becoming a subscriber, you can cancel any time. This is only running for 7 days. Experience Ultramethylene Blue. Experience the other incredible supplements. But also, the buy one, get one free goes for the ball caps, the t-shirts, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Those of you that have ever gotten products, now's the time. It'll blow you away. Get the Methylene Blue, bare minimum, at thealexofstore.com.
Breaking through the lies of the New World Order, it's Tomorrow's News Tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Tomorrow's News Tonight. I am Chase Geyser, your host. Former FBI Director Chris Wray criminally referred to DOJ over claims he lied to Congress. We'll see if anything comes of that. Why isn't it that Fauci hasn't been criminally referred either? It's pretty obvious that he lied to Rand Paul all those years ago about gain-of-function technology. It's just bizarre to me how selective our justice system is about who it prosecutes, who it persecutes, who it comes after, who it spies on, who it follows around, who it harasses. I've experienced this personally. I've experienced this professionally in my work. You've all experienced it as Americans, whether you even know it or not, how selective our Department of Justice is in terms of what it actually does or goes after. And look, Pam Bondi's done an outstanding job on Fox News, running cover for the fact that all she does is go on Fox News. And I'm not trying to be unfairly critical of who's probably a sweet person. But we don't need sweetness in the information war. We need justice. We need these institutions totally eradicated and replaced, from the FBI to the CIA to the IRS to the Department of Justice, frankly. It seems like it's so nice to see that there's been criminal referrals of these so-called Obama admin officials or other politicians, but I see crime after crime every single day from all of our leaders, treason after treason every single day from all of our leaders, from Adam Schiff to Nancy Pelosi to Chuck Schumer to Mitch McConnell to Lindsey Graham to Dan Crenshaw, who's among my least favorite people ever to draw breath on the face of the planet. No justice whatsoever, but they've been sent over for criminal referral. Hey, we think that you should press charges. Okay, well, how are you going to get them to? How are you going to apply pressure to the Pambanis or the others to actually press charges on these people? I mean, they only caught 204 child predators that 1 week that they bragged about it on the lawn, Cash Patel and Pambani. This week, we have arrested 204 child predators. That's great. There's like 9 million of them in the United States of America. You know that? Since Trump's been in office, we found 10,000 of the 323,000 children that went missing. I'm glad that you found 10,000 of them, but there's over 300,000 of them remaining. Many of them practically adults by now, if not literally adults by now. Fact of the matter is we're in the middle of a spiritual war where it's good versus evil. Everybody's pointing the finger at somebody else for all the yells that are happening and just trying to pass the stick of dynamite before the fuse is exhausted, before there's this massive political explosion. I mean, the same thing that we see with the Federal Reserve, fractional reserve banking system, central banking system, where there's just kicking the can, kicking the can, kicking the can, trying not to be the one holding the bomb when it goes off and the entire economic system of the world over collapses in on itself. We see the same thing with this corruption, where everyone just passes the problem. Oh, I'm going to refer it to the DOJ, and the DOJ is going to refer it to the FBI, and the FBI is going to refer it to the CIA, and the CIA is going to refer it to ICE, and ICE is going to refer it to the IRS. And they just kick this stuff around and never take any responsibility whatsoever. And I'm wondering, as an American, why is it that heads are not rolling? Why is it that there is no justice? And you wonder why people are becoming Nazis. They like to use that term. They like to claim that you're a Nazi for anything, even though all of their policies are literally Nazi. Fascism is the definition of private business being controlled by the government or coerced by the government. And that's exactly what our government does with its budget and its politicians and its administrations going into publicly traded companies, threatening them, threatening to break them up if it's Elizabeth Warren or anybody else. Unless they comply, and these companies give over data, they push for things, they censor people, they have people arrested. They even get involved. I mean, remember, Twitter was explicitly involved in the so-called Arab Spring. The CIA ran an operation to try to overthrow several governments simultaneously in the Middle East, and Twitter was some heroic bastion of democracy because it participated in aiding people on the ground and overthrowing their own governments. But as soon as Donald Trump tweets something on January 6th, I guess that's advocating for insurrection. But it was okay in Egypt 12 years ago. 14 years ago, it was okay during this massive uprising in the entire Middle East, a region so unstable and simultaneously so critical to national security in the United States of America, you would think it would be reckless to stoke as much disruption and destruction and instability as possible. But that was backed by our own mockingbird establishment system, right? So it's okay. Meanwhile, we've got example after example after example of all of the crimes, very obvious crimes that our leadership has committed, that our institutions have committed, and we have virtually no calls formally by any members of the establishment whatsoever to bring down any element of the establishment. You got your Thomas Massie coming out and criticizing AIPAC and saying that we should end the Fed, or you got your Rand Paul saying we should end the Fed. I like that. I love that. I love those guys. I'm sure they're great. But where's that good old American spirit? What happened to our culture and our spirit where we would get outraged over a tea tax such that we would commit a crime against the most powerful empire ever, throwing the tea overboard in the Boston Tea Party, but then we'll allow ourselves to be taxed into oblivion with sales tax, property tax, income tax, and not only to be taxed into oblivion, but then taxed again with inflation when we're literally robbed of our buying power, and not only to be robbed, but then for that money to be used against us and to fund the most evil regimes in the world. And then not only that, but then to add insult to injury, they call you a Nazi when you're critical of literal neo-Nazis in Ukraine, taking all of our money, all of our funding, as they advocate for democracy and declare an indefinite halt to all elections, as they conglomerate all press in their nations into state-controlled and run press outlets, as they ban the use of the Russian language, as they ban certain religions associated with Russia. But you're the Nazi. But they do all the Nazi things. Frankly, who cares if they call Sydney Sweeney a Nazi? Who cares? She's probably not one, but even if she is, who cares? Who cares if Sydney Sweeney is very upset with some of our trade agreements with the international community and feels like her country's being taken advantage of and doesn't want to stand for? Who cares? Who cares if Sydney Sweeney understands that she's beautiful, in fact, more beautiful than most people because she has great genes? And she advocates for as many people as possible to be like her. Who cares if that's how she feels? Who cares if Sydney Sweeney doesn't want to sell out all the interests of the American people to an international cabal? Or if Sydney Sweeney just absolutely hates all Zionists and Zionism, who cares what Sydney Sweeney thinks? Who cares if Sydney Sweeney thinks that we should ban usury in the United States of America so we don't have a civilization further and further indebted every single year? Who cares?
if Sidney Sweeney advocates for an entire group of people who don't belong in the United States to be sent back home or somewhere else where they belong? I mean, does it really bother anyone in America if Sidney Sweeney has some kind of an idea of what a final solution to all of our problems would be? Does that really bother you? Who cares what Sidney Sweeney thinks? Who cares if Sidney Sweeney believes that all of our leaders should be well-dressed? Maybe even get some kind of a contract with Hugo Boss. And maybe she wants to put the chrome on the Benz. Who cares if Sidney Sweeney prefers to drive in a Mercedes? Or she wants to drive in a Volkswagen? Who cares if Sidney Sweeney's a Nazi? Who cares if she refuses to speak into a microphone made by an American company? Maybe she prefers Sennheiser. Maybe she really likes Led Zeppelin records and she understands the inherent superiority of German engineering. Who cares if Sidney Sweeney loves Sennheiser microphones? Who cares if she loves putting her head out the window to get a free blowout on the Autobahn as she drives with the chrome on the Benz, met with a crowd just proudly waving to her? Who cares if Sidney Sweeney is a Nazi? Because after all, if as the headlines say, America's turning back in a brazen way to whiteness and we're all Nazis now, well, isn't that the democracy that you've been advocating for? Because the last I checked, I believe the population in the United States of America is like 60 or 63% white, even though it's only 7% of the world that is so. So at the same time, we're a minority. And on the other hand, in a democratic system, then we should, the whites should get the vote, right? If you love democracy so much and everybody's a Nazi now and you're scared about that, then maybe you should second guess democracy. In fact, maybe it is true that democracy has been and will always be the leading cause of tyranny. Ultimately, these problems aren't going away until we solve the spiritual war that Tucker Carlson is talking about in this clip. Please go ahead and run it.
The main thing they want you to believe is the supernatural is not real. Their main interest is in convincing you that the supernatural is not real. Why has that been so important for 80 years? For you to convince me the supernatural is not real. Why do you care if I think the supernatural is real? But then you have to ask motive. Like, it's not a profit motive. Like, does it make them rich to deny that there's supernatural forces? No. What is that? And I don't know the answer. But the obvious answer is, well, because they sort of know they're working for supernatural forces, actually. But that they take physical form, that they're not just like some ethereal, they're not just shadows floating around, specters, fog, that they're physical. Like, they're as real as the arm of your chair. People are subject to the supernatural, so they do things that are not natural, like kill themselves. That's why we're the only species that kills itself, right? So when you kill yourself, whether slowly or all at once, you're being acted on by forces outside of you, spiritual forces, obviously. I'm just trying to apply logic here.
We're in a spiritual war. A spiritual war that's running a major psychological operation on all the people. Like I said, it's not just a war on for your mind. It's a war on for your heart and your soul. And we see it when all of those who hate all that is good insist that you're a Nazi. But let's listen to this clip from Nick Fuentes, the alleged most famous neo-Nazi in the United States of America. Let's watch what he has to say, because I'm not a Nazi, but I'm on the same page with him here.
That's a control tactic. Like, if you want the truth, you should just let everybody have it out. Like Alex Jones. Alex Jones is friends with Tucker, and Alex Jones doesn't just talk shit about me behind my back. He has me on his show and challenges me. I've known Alex Jones for like, and I'm going to give him a shout out here because he deserves it. I've known Alex Jones for 6 years now, and he had the same view of me that Tucker did, I think. He was very skeptical of me, thought I was like working with the left to sabotage the right, thought that we set him up with Ye. And, you know, even though we disagree on things, he didn't just talk trash about me behind my back and gossip about me like a little bitch and be snarky. He had me on his show frequently and challenged me to my face. He said, come on the show. Let's do it. Come to the studio. Do it to my face. Well, okay, pause. Let's do it in person. Mano a mano. And our relationship has been dynamic because of that. Sometimes we've been at odds. Sometimes we've been very friendly. And, you know, Alex Jones is somebody who wants the truth. He obviously cares about the country deeply. This is not just a random glaze. But that's just like a good comparison of what I expect. If people are skeptical of me, that's fine. I expect that about all of it. But my expectation is that if you care about the truth, you will talk about me and my ideas. Don't do a little drive-by and say, oh, he's a gay-fed loser who lives in his basement. Engage with my ideas. If you care about the truth, I have a huge following. The young people love me. I have survived and persevered in spite of a lot of nonsense. And, you know, that's just a contrast where Alex Jones was never in the fan club, you know, and he had the same skepticism that Tucker did. But we talked it out. He had the confidence in his convictions and the clarity in his intentions to say, come on the show. I want to know. I want to ask you myself and get to the bottom of it. And he wasn't even convinced initially, but we had this conversation over the years and he listened. And eventually he listened to what I was saying and we debated the ideas. And eventually he was like, you know, you're not a bad guy. And that's my expectation. And I would do the same for anybody else that I disagree with or whoever. But, you know, I give them a fair hearing of their ideas at the minimum. Even if I don't bring them on the show, I'm going to give them a fair hearing on their ideas. I'm not going to character assassinate and, oh, he's a loser fed faker, doesn't believe what he's saying, hateful, racist. Like, it's literally everything in the kitchen sink. It's just, and that's how you know someone's lying. When someone pretends to be a journalist, and like you said, the false deference, the fake humility, but is that closed-minded, is making a judgment, doesn't watch my show, never met me. Oh, but I saw one clip and it's obvious he's a fed. Okay, you're a liar. Like, you're a controlled opposition liar. So, and I just hate the, LARP. For better or for worse, whatever you want to say about me, whatever you want to say, whatever kind of thing you want to say about me, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I tell you how I feel. And that has gotten me called a lot of different things over the years. But nobody could say there's a pretense, for better or for worse. There is no pretense. You are getting the real guy here. I'm not pretending to be a nice guy. I'm not pretending to be a super humble, hey, I'm just like you. I'm a regular American. I'm not pretending to be Dr. Trad. Oh, I just want my wheat fields. I just want my wheat fields in a, you know, trad calf marriage. I'm not pretending to be, you know, a pure Aryan stock. Racial purity is our only goal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just me. And all these people, it's a fake laugh. It's a fake appeal, playing dumb, asking questions you know the answer to, calculating yourself into these positions, calculating your approach. 2017, I said, let it rip. Let it rip. Charlottesville, game on. January 6th, I'm there.
And look, the beef between Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson, it's last week's news, and this is supposed to be tomorrow's news tonight. And I disagree with some of the things that he said about Tucker, though I agree with his main point. Main point being that if you have a problem with me, then you should debate me. And it's not him just trying to get attention like you might see from others, because Nick already has a huge audience. He's not just trying to trick or manipulate Tucker Carlson into having him on his show, though it is a pain in the butt to have Nick Fuentes on your show if it's a YouTube show. I'm sure Tucker would have to get permission from YouTube to air it, and maybe even run it only on Rumble or X. There'd be special things to consider for that. He's right in that point, but Tucker Carlson's not a liar. He might be wrong, but he's not a liar. I've met him. I've got a sense of the guy. I'm pretty good at judging character and people. Maybe I'm a little naive. So I think he's wrong about that, but Nick is a good guy. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he has cooperated with intelligence at one point in time. I have no way to know. And frankly, we live in a civilization where we're all giving at least one out of every $4 that we earn to the federal government. So who isn't a fed? You're funding the war in Ukraine. You're funding the bombing in Gaza. You're funding virtually every conflict that's taking place. And you're paying for law enforcement and the FBI and the CIA and others to put people on lists and then lock them up because they're considered political dissidents opposed to the interests of the deep state and therefore threats to national security. We're all feds in that sense. I have no evidence or reason to believe, other than anecdotal comments that I've heard from certain people, that Nick Fuentes is a fed. And frankly, I think I owe him an apology, because Nick probably doesn't know this. I've seen him several times since. But when I was on the Hodge twins last summer, I made fun of Nick for like, I don't know, 3 minutes straight. I feel bad about it.
it was tongue in cheek and just, you know, I've got three older brothers and so that's kind of what I do, but probably shouldn't have made fun of him. Probably was in bad taste. Probably wrong about him. So I apologize. But what you do with somebody like Nick is you talk to him, and we have people coming out and advocating for the censorship of his views because of who he is or what he espouses. I don't agree with everything that he says. But the only way to bring down something that's incorrect is to debate it and let it out in the open. As soon as you try to censor something, it expands. I mean, censoring something is like pouring water on dandelions. They just grow and in between everything, and then they kill the good stuff. And then that's the end of it. And the fact that we're all being called Nazis, City Sweeney, all of us, is so disgusting to me because it doesn't even have anything to do with the anti-Semitism connotations or the Holocaust connotations. Sick of talking about the Holocaust. First of all, if you believe the 6 million number, which may be true, I don't know. I know that millions or at least hundreds of thousands, millions of Jews died as a result of Hitler. Millions. I don't know if it was all in the gas chambers. I don't know if it was firing squad. I don't know if you count every single person that died in the war who happened to be Jewish. I don't know how you calculate the number, but I believe that the Holocaust happened and that it was terrible and that some people, hundreds of thousands or millions of them, died just because they were Jewish. 100%. Not a Holocaust number, but you realize that the estimated total deaths in the Holocaust and in the camps is 11 million. Only 6 million of them were Jewish. Why doesn't anybody ever mourn for the other 5 million who died? Why has it been hijacked by one people or one culture? Same with the Nazi thing. They call you a Nazi because you're critical of Israel or Zionism or whatever the hell is going on. When everything that we espouse, either on this network or just in every American household with a semblance of patriotism, is entirely antithetical to Hitler. Oh, we love Hitler so much because we're critical of Israel? When Hitler censored everyone as we've been advocating and screaming against censorship, you realize that everybody at InfoWars would be totally dead if Hitler was in power, and we all know that. We're not Hitler fans here. You realize Hitler would have killed me for like 7 different reasons. Because of things I've said, who I am, my genetics. I'm not Jewish, but I've got a bleeding disorder, genetic ailment. Totally eradicated I would have been by Hitler. And I know that. I don't support Hitler. He came down and seized all of the businesses. He took over the banks and then didn't allow them to loan money on interest to the people, which is probably a good thing, but allowed the banks to loan the Nazi government infinite money on interest, which is just usury only for them, that they were never going to be able to pay back. He got his entire country invaded and destroyed because of the irrational decisions that he made. He was a total lunatic in total control, total despot, total dictator. You think I advocate for that? As I sit up here and criticize King George on the one hand, that I advocate for Hitler? I mean, Nazism, National Socialism is completely antithetical to everything that the right stands for or says. The only semblance of similarity between National Socialism, the Nazi Party, and MAGA is that National Socialism espoused Germany first and MAGA espouses America first. We're not trying to ship people who are citizens out of here. We're not trying to set up camps. It's the Hillary Clintons that literally explicitly say that they should have everyone put who disagrees with them into camps run by people at TED Talks to re-educate them. They're advocating for re-education camps. We've got the updated documents from our own deep state coming out saying how the layout would be, where the ping pong table would be in the re-education camps. We've showed you all of these FEMA camp layouts. Recreational area, work area, classroom, quarters for sleep and rest and privacy. There's nothing Nazi happening in the United States right now. And the more they squeeze and try to censor this so-called anti-Semitism, the more genuinely anti-Semitic people will become. And the more genuinely anti-Semitic people become, the more support Israel gets from our government. And so I honestly think that there's a part of Mossad that wants this rhetoric to escalate as much as possible. They want to see the hate crimes, the shootings, the immolations in the United States. So Bibi Netanyahu can come over here and say, see, we have to put an end to this anti-Semitism now. They want to see the government have control over freedom of speech on campuses. This is the information war, and we have to win it. Because if we don't win it now, we're not going to have another chance. There's not going to be a World War IV, folks. So fund the only war worth funding. Fund the information war now at thealexjonesstore.com. Achieve self-actualization. Keep Alex Jones on the air and defeat evil to save humanity at thealexjonesstore.com. Stay with us for more on the other side of the short break.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts. Mm-hmm. I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated. Mm-hmm. He stated, quote, depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world, end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you had someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, in earlier times, it was easier to control 1 million people than to physically kill 1 million people. He said, but now it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than it is to control, end quote.
It was easier to control 1 million people, literally. It was easier to control 1 million people than physically to kill 1 million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than to control.
So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse.
I've studied the pieces. We've got the owner's manual. We've got the blueprint. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. UN climate change official says we should, quote, make every effort to depopulate the planet, close quote. There is pressure in the system to go towards that. We should do everything possible to carry that out. I mean, these people are totalitarians. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that, and you think about what's going on long and hard. You better look into it, folks. You better find out it's real, okay? You think you're freaked out by this? I know why a lot of you are in denial.
So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They say these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all.
Now, back to our program.
Never sleeps, so neither does he. You're listening to Chase Geyser on Tomorrow's News Tonight.
My name is Chase Geyser. This is Tomorrow's News Tonight, and I am going to be taking your calls for the 24 minutes and 12 seconds that we have remaining together. The sooner you call, the more likely I am to get to you. 877-789-2539. Again, that's 877-789-2539. Finally, one more time, 877-789-2539. And I am going to actually run clip 17, CJ. This is the If Hitler Were Alive Today, because I want to wrap up what we were talking about with the Nazi Sweeney, Nick Fuentes stuff in the last segment. This is a comedian coming out and saying if Hitler were alive today, he'd be on Theo Von's podcast. Let's watch.
I think if Hitler were alive today, he'd probably appear on Theo Von's podcast. And Theo would be like, see, y'all did a lot of meth, right? I mean, all the Nazis were all fucked up on meth, right, Hitler? That shit'll make you crazy, dog.
And you get, look, they've lost control over the mainstream media. They've lost control with their Mockingbird stuff. And so now what they have to do is alienate, criminalize, and penalize their competition. That's one of the main reasons I think that the mainstream media was so eager to go after Alex Jones is because YouTube was a total existential threat 10 years ago to the existence of the mainstream media. Almost brought it completely down. Now it's completely down for other reasons because of X and Rumble. And YouTube kind of just sold out and bought into the whole censorship industrial complex. But there's a reason that all the mainstream media outlets are so eager to criticize Tesla when so many of their major sponsors are Tesla's competitors. They're so reluctant to criticize Big Pharma when so many of their sponsors are pharmaceutical companies and industry. There's a reason they're so happy to criticize Joe Rogan or Tucker Carlson or Alex Jones or Theo Von. It's because that's their direct competition. Look, I don't criticize CNN because I see them as competition. I criticize CNN because I see them as a existential threat to my people and my culture and my way of life. To humanity itself, not even just my people, but people in general. And it's proven to be true because of all the lies that they've propelled and talked about that have led to war after war. And just big one that comes to mind is the war in Iraq and the weapons of mass destruction and the million people that died in that conflict and the total instability in the region as a result. We showed you Chris Cuomo saying that he was in traffic as the world flies by in all the windows in that video. But I'm going to go to some calls. I want to hear from Steve in Michigan. Steve in Michigan, what do you think, man?
Yes, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
Okay, I know this is a little off-subject, but one thing that we were kind of concerned with up here is our, you know, one of the running things for Donald Trump's campaign was actually that there was going to be no tax on overtime, no tax on tips, and a lot of people bought into that. Now, basically, then when this big, beautiful bill passes, they come back and they kick to us. They say, okay, well, we're going to give you a $12,000 tax relief at the end of the year. Now, basically, that's all it is, a tax break. For most people, it isn't even going to help.
Yeah, I could be wrong. Maybe you just caught me with a curveball, but I'm pretty sure the no tax on tips and the overtime tax was in the big beautiful bill. Am I just totally wrong about that, Steve?
What it is it was in the bill, but what it ended up being by the time that it actually got passed was that they're actually still taking tax from us. They're still taxing all of our overtime. People like me, you know, I work, you know.
And they're just giving you an estimated tax credit to compensate for that?
You're going to get $12,500 tax credit that's going to actually come off of your earned income at the end of the year. So, I mean, your average person, what are we getting? An extra $100?
So it looks like on average, Americans will receive about $1,300 more from no tax on tips per year. There's no federal income tax withheld on tipped wages, which means more cash in hand. It's tax-free incentives, about 6 million workers who report tipped wages. Industries relying on tips, we know all that. No tax on tips is retroactive, meaning you will get money back for your tipped wages earned in 2025. And about 400,000 veterans work in occupations that often receive tipped wages, so it's going to help veterans too. I think he actually delivered on that promise, Steve, but I understand your reluctance and criticism there because there is a lot of bait and switch that happens with these earmarks. And by the time things go from the House to the Senate, back to the House, and then to the president's desk, they change so many times it's hard to keep up with whatever the hell the law really is.
Right. Yes, exactly.
I'm with you, man. I love you. Thank you for calling. I hope you're calling again. Let's go to Tim in Washington State. Tim, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase, I'm just kind of curious about Nick Fuentes. Like, why didn't he go to any jail? He put his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk. That's one thing. And another thing is that since you guys have been branding yourselves as Team Humanity for so long, Nick Fuentes doesn't really have the humanity that I think that you give forgive him. I mean, A, number one, I'm pretty sure he's a closet homosexual. He's got no kids. He's got no skin in the game. And, I mean, the guy's, he takes away everybody else's humanity for engagement and some sort of influence over people that are lacking leadership. And the guy's a bastard. I'm sorry. But you guys are giving him far too much credit. Sure, he's articulate. Sure, he's smart. That's fine. But he's a bigot, right? I'm a right winger. This dude's a bigot. He doesn't give anybody any humanity whatsoever. And you guys are putting him on Team Humanity. I think it's a big mistake.
You might be right. I don't know if InfoWars gets to say who is or isn't on Team Humanity. You know, Alex is a very kind and generous person. And I've gotten to know him pretty well over the last couple of years I've been working here. And I would say that Alex has a tendency to be very friendly with almost anyone that he meets in person, if they're friendly toward him. And it's possible that Nick came in and just, you know, shook his hand and said some nice things and neutralized any antagonism that might have been warded against him. I don't know. I'm not declaring who's on Team Humanity or not. I don't agree with, 25-30% of what Nick Fuentes says. But I'm also not in a position to say that he doesn't have any humanity himself or that he's a bigot. He might toe the line. He might be a bigot. I don't know. But I don't feel comfortable throwing that word around if I don't know it to be true.
Well, he's definitely full of hate, right? He's intelligent and he's got a good understanding of geopolitics and stuff, but he's just using hate as more of a lens than anything else. And I've been paying attention to every single one of you guys since I got into politics and whatnot. And the only reason why I sided with InfoWars is they weren't using identity politics. But now it's just this torch that everybody seems to use to guide their way. Identity.
Can you be a little bit more specific? I'm not even disagreeing with you. I just want to understand what you're saying. Can you be a little bit more specific and how InfoWars is using identity politics, in your opinion?
I'm not saying InfoWars in general, but I mean, I'm saying that when you're bringing Nick Fuentes, who's literally the torchbearer for identity politics in the right wing, you might as well just have him and Stu Peters on at the same time, man. I mean, it's just
oh, man. We've had Stu Peters used to host the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show.
I know. It's just, but I mean, everybody that has basically climbed up this ladder of social influence and stuff with identity politics shouldn't be trusted. They should be definitely, you should be skeptical about it. And they're definitely not cultural leaders.
Look, I'm not saying that Nick Fuentes is a good guy. I'm just saying that he shouldn't be censored. And he made a good point about whether or not Tucker should have him on and debate him directly. I mean, wouldn't you watch?
No, I understand that. But I mean, at a certain point, then you start wondering if this is all Kabuki theater, because you're watching somebody that didn't go to prison for January 6th.
I know. That is alarming. And I'd like to see him specifically answer for that. And I think if Tucker Carlson had him on, he would make Nick specifically answer for that.
Thanks a lot, Chase. I appreciate it.
I love you. See ya. All right. Sean in California. Sean, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase. You're asking about when these people are going to be charged, what have you.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, stuff being served to them. The American Common Law Grand Jury is a body that still exists despite the bar working against it, and they can create a presentment to give to a sheriff in the respective county of the party that needs to be arrested. And I can rant about several different websites that teach about that topic.
I'm sure that you're right, but it's never going to happen.
That's because the sheriffs are federalized. I get that.
Yeah, or they just don't know, or they're too scared, or they don't, you know, it's like not everybody's Columbo. You know, not every, oh, by the way, you know.
The sheriff needs to decide, does his oath to the Constitution mean what it means, or is he going to sell out to the deep state, et cetera? There are some good sheriffs that say they're constitutional out there. Maybe they should really look at what that Constitution means and where they stand with it, given that we've had, surprise folks, 5 different constitutions since the founding of this republic, 1 for every bankruptcy.
Yeah. So, yeah. Amen, yeah, Sean. Thanks for your call. I appreciate that. Tim in California. Tim, what's on your mind?
Hey, thank you, Chase. You know, Interstellar Part 2, I called in with this, and it was just first spotted. It's the third only object ever. It's going 37 miles per second, so it's definitely moving along.
What
and
object?
Three Harvard science, Interstellar.
Oh, only, that object that came into our solar system?
Yes, and it's moving at 37 miles per second, which is actually unusually fast. And now 3 Harvard scientists have suggested, hey, this might not just be a rocket, it might be a visitor. And, you know, I mentioned movies like Deep Impact and Armageddon, so that those in power may know something they're kind of withholding from us. Whatever,
you know, the UFO community has been saying for a couple of years, though. Sorry to interrupt you, Tim, but you know, the UFO community has been saying for a couple of years that there would very quickly be a claim from the government that a ship was on its way to the Earth and that it would arrive in 2027. I mean, they've been saying that this was going to happen for a couple of years, very publicly.
No, I get that. But my point is, no matter what this extinction level event is that's coming our way, there's some impending doom that I think somebody got read in on. And I think the proof is when you look on the looks on the faces of people like Dan Bongino and Kash Patel. You talk about they look like they're being held hostage. How about if I told them that, hey, something really bad's getting ready to happen and you can't tell anybody, not even your wives, you know? And by the way, you mentioned it could be other things. I'm not trying to be a doomsdayer or whatever, but for instance, Venus, our sister planet, hey, we've since sent up satellites that can look through it, almost all that haze or whatever. They can look through it like a fish finder, and we know the end of their planet wasn't factories or cars. It was basically the same thing that could end our planet. You mentioned it. Volcanoes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not being a doomsayer. It could be anything.
Well, and we did have a volcano that just erupted in Russia for the first time in 600 years. I believe that the government has directed energy weapons that can trigger things like earthquakes, which relate to volcanoes all over the world. And we've seen countless clips over the course of the last several weeks of all sorts of different kinds of animals walking as far away from Yellowstone as they possibly can.
Well, and that would be enough to ruin your whole afternoon if that sucker let go, right?
Yeah, that is the truth. Let's go to, I'm going to go to Bart in Georgia. Bart, what's on your mind?
Yeah, and we've been talking about hell on earth. Alex Jones is talking about getting black pills. You might as well go to the alexjonesstore.com/bar with a capital B and get this methylene blue. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this is the best product you guys have ever had. It's just absolutely fantastic.
It's insane.
It'll take me an hour to explain to why. Just go and buy it. Awesome. I'm expecting 2 bottles tomorrow in the sale.
Absolutely. I want to tell the audience a little bit about what to experience on Methylene Blue. I know we've talked about it incessantly. We've had basically every guest take it. We've run ad after ad after ad for it. People are reluctant to take it. Listen, talk to your doctor, but as long as you're not on SSRIs, this could be the best thing that you've ever taken. Methylene Blue, let me just describe my first experience. I pour one dropper of Methylene Blue into a glass of ice soda water. And the full dose for the day is 2 droppers. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to try it. Drop one. Not expecting anything. A lot of stuff that's good for you, you take it, and it is good for you, but you don't necessarily feel it. You take B12 every single day, you might not necessarily feel it. Maybe if it builds up in your system, you'll start noticing that you have more energy and you're getting sick less often. I understand, but Methylene Blue is one of the few products over-the-counter out there that you will physically feel within 30 minutes, unless you have supernatural mitochondria health. And it's not just the way that your body feels, even though there are sensations. It's the way that your state of mind completely changes. It doesn't make you a different person. You just realize that your thoughts are more organized, that a veil is lifted, that you have clarity of focus, that you have more energy, but you're not jittery, that there's no crash, that you could still go to sleep if you wanted to, but you don't feel like you're falling asleep every single day. I mean, Methylene Blue is something that I will take for the rest of my life. And you can look into all the studies and the conversations from RFK Jr. to Mel Gibson to Chase Hughes. They've done studies on the effects of Methylene Blue where people take it and then they do red light therapy and the benefits are just absolutely astounding. It helps your body absorb more of the oxygen that you breathe in. Literally the stuff that life is made of. Isn't it said in Genesis that God breathed life into Adam? Well, this makes you be able to make the most out of God's breath into you. Methylene Blue. And it's not just the fact that it helps your body absorb oxygen. And we've got athletes that send reviews all the time, text to me directly, direct messages to me directly, talking about, hey, I'm at 3,000 feet or however many feet, and I go for runs and bikes every single day, and this Methylene Blue has changed everything. It's not just that, but it helps your cells be more efficient, as I understand it, dropping off extra electrons, empowering the mitochondria. Every single cell in your body has its own battery. Just like your phone has a lithium ion battery or a Tesla has a lithium ion battery. Every cell in your body has its own battery called the mitochondria. And that's what produces the energy for the cell. And Methylene Blue is effective because it empowers rejuvenates and protects your mitochondria. So you're absorbing more oxygen. Your mitochondria are totally fired up. Your body is absorbing more energy from the sun itself. It's like super chlorophyll for a human body. And you'll feel better, and you'll feel the hot blood running through your veins, and you'll understand that you're focused, that you have more energy, and you won't be jittery, and there isn't a come down. It's so absolutely incredible that I almost feel like a charlatan pitching it, because I understand that it sounds unreal. But you know what else sounded unreal? When Alex Jones predicted that they were going to fly planes into the World Trade Center in 2001, months before it happened, sounded unreal, and then it happened. Or when he told Joe Rogan that there was a sex island run and operated by Jeffrey Epstein years before it came out. Or when he predicted that the vaccines were neither safe nor effective. Or when he told everyone that Russia was going to get invaded. Or when he predicted a month before it happened that Tucker Carlson was going to get fired. Nobody could believe it because it just didn't make any sense. But that's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. That's the difference between seeing and perceiving. And I'm telling you now, just as Alex is right about everything else that sounded unbelievable, that methylene blue will be one of the best decisions that you ever make, if you get it. And look, our whole purpose on this earth is to honor God. We are his creation. And so what better way to honor him than becoming the best versions of ourselves? Is called self-actualization, when you actually become all you can potentially become. And our bodily health is part of that. Our intellectual health, our mind health is part of that. And then the good that we do in the world is part of that. And so by going to the alexjonesstore.com right now and getting methylene blue, you're fighting for your body and your mind and for humanity at the same time. You're doing what God calls all of us to do. Keep us on the air. Go now. Thank you so much, Bart, for those nice things that you said. Gene in Georgia, what's on your mind?
Hello, brother.
Hey, brother.
I'm just, you know.
Hey, brother.
Methylene blue's great, but I'm just an old man. I'm just one crying in the wilderness here. Politics is one thing. You know, the government is what they are. There is evil in the world, and we are fighting them. I guess the main thing is, I just want to tell the listeners, if you could pray for the children, the missing children, the thousands and thousands of children. If we could do that, I think God would bless this country again. I don't know. You tell me. What do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that we should pray for the children. And I do think that governments will always be the way governments are, and there will always be good and evil. But just because there will always be evil doesn't mean that we should give up keeping it at bay. And
we're not giving up.
And look, I know you're not. I'm not accusing you of that.
Billions of dollars of the countries. We get billions of dollars. Countries. And I don't know about any government. I mean, this country's the richest in the world. So we're not made something that can go find these missing children.
It's disgusting.
That are being sex slaves?
Yep. It's disgusting.
Please explain that.
Yeah, I don't have an explanation for you other than the fact that all the entities responsible for justice are wrapped up in the corruption that we're asking them to seek justice. It's funny because I got swatted a few months ago, and obviously we'd been reporting for several months that the FBI has been spying on InfoWars since December 10th, 2013 under what's called a Type 3 assessment. We did a Freedom of Information Act request. They admitted that they've been doing a human intelligence gathering operation on InfoWars since December of 2013, spying on all of our crew, our hosts, our financial transactions, just collecting information on us for 12 years. And it's still going on as long as I know. Then I get swatted. I get assigned an FBI agent to my case, and I have to convince or provide information to an FBI agent to find the culprit who swatted my family and others at InfoWars, Owen Schroyer and others whom I won't name. I have to ask for justice from the same organization that's violating my rights. So we're asking for the people who are trafficking these children to find these children. It's obviously a conflict of interest. It's like asking Shell Oil to convert all of its operations and its employees' electronics to battery operated. It's a total conflict of interest. They would never do that whatsoever. So to me, the only solution
is to first make everyone aware of this problem. And then once everyone is aware, then apply the political pressure. And that's why I work here at InfoWars, because our job is to make everyone understand the truth, aware of the truth. Our job is to perpetuate and scale and catalyze the Great Awakening. Because once everybody realizes that the IRS and the CIA and the FBI and the NSA are no good, once everybody realizes that the DNC and the RNC are the same villain with two different faces, no good, then we will have the political will to apply pressure. But in the meantime, we have to fight for our rights as long as we can, fight for freedom of speech for as long as we can, to ensure that we have enough time to reach critical mass of support to then be in a position to apply the political force necessary to reverse this level of corruption. And look, folks, throughout history, we've never seen any civilization reach this level of corruption and peacefully reverse it. It just doesn't happen. And we'll have good kings and bad kings, good presidents and bad presidents, good dictators and bad dictators for the years to come. And I hope that it doesn't turn to bloodshed. I don't advocate for bloodshed. I'm trying to prevent bloodshed. This network's the only network I can think of that's been against virtually every war that we've been in since World War II. We're a pacifist network, even though they call us hate speech and debank us and censor us on every single platform and then villainize us using the Mockingbird techniques. We're a pacifist organization that advocates for individual rights while they claim we're a hate group, a white, racially motivated organization, in the words of the FBI themselves on the documents that we got in the FOIA. That's what they say about us. But we're the only network fighting for minorities, because we're the only network that fights for the individual, and the individual is the greatest minority of all. And you neither gain or lose rights by joining a group. There's no such thing as black rights or women's rights or men's rights or whites rights. There's only individual rights. We are given our rights as individuals at birth by our creator. And this network fights for those individual rights while every special interest entity, corporate or governmental, seeks to erode those rights as much as possible for the sake of conglomerating all political power into one new world order government, one world nation own, where you will own nothing and be very, very unhappy. And right now, we are funding billions and billions and billions of dollars into a system, a machine that does not seek to fight for our interests or our rights, but to perpetuate and expand its own power, and it morally justifies that by saying it wants to fight for our rights and our interests. They even believe it, but denial isn't just a river in Egypt, folks. We're pumping money into a corrupt system, and we're empowering it not just with the money and the spending that they get, but they are about ready to make the most effective technology in the history of the information war, which goes all the way back to the lie the snake told in the Garden of Eden. It's the one war that is continuously, perpetually ongoing. Truth versus lie, the information war, knowledge, wisdom, foolishness, ignorance, all variables playing in. Every story in the Bible is about what's true and what isn't. Who's the real God? Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. It's all about truth versus the lie. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So we can't give up. Even when all seems hopeless on the information war, we have to go to the alexjonesstore.com and show support in any way that we possibly can. If you're sick of your vote not being enough, then declare yourself a voice and show the New World Order what matters to you at the alexjonesstore.com.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. You figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to the alexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history. Maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Booster Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back, and then some, simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. you need to try our ultra-methylene blue. But talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check those interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish sea moss. Get the Shilajit, the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% humanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at the Alex Jones Store.